This is Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil.
I would like for you to think about the significance of time in the Christian life. Although we don't all have the same amount of wealth or even of talents or abilities, we all presently do have time. We may not all have the same amount of quantitative time, that is, some may live longer than others. Yet, at this moment, we all have time. To talk about giving our lives to Jesus, to talk about living the Christian life and all that goes with it, ultimately is to talk about time. Now, we don't all have the ability to give God the same quantity of money, just as we don't all have the ability to dedicate to Him the same talents. But we do all have the same amount of time at any particular moment. We have two choices. We can choose to dedicate what time we have either to God or to ourselves. Jesus told a story about a man who went out to plant a field. In those days, they didn't drill the wheat into the ground with machinery. Rather, they broadcasted it. That is, they simply threw it out by hand. Those with practice could accomplish this in a fairly even manner. No matter how proficient a person became at broadcasting the seed evenly in the prepared areas, some of it would land in out-of-the-way places. Jesus said some seed fell on the roadways where the birds ate it. Others fell on the stones by the edge of the field and dried up because there was no soil for the roots. Others fell among the thorns. The thorns overshadowed the plants and choked them out. Jesus explained that the seed in the story represents the Word of God. The various elements where the seed fell are the environments of our lives. Some of the seed fell among the thorns. Jesus later explained to the disciples that by thorns, he meant the cares of this life that choke out spiritual growth. A popular grass often used on Florida lawns is called St. Augustine. It's very thick, and it grows by sending runners across the top of the ground. A person can plant plugs of this grass, which will soon spread until it covers the whole area. When we first moved to Florida, our front lawn was a common native grass called Bahia. Bahia is thin, and it's not particularly pretty. My neighbor had the St. Augustine variety, and believe it or not, in a few years, my neighbor's nice St. Augustine grass simply spread across my front lawn and choked out the Bahia. Now, of course, I put in some plugs to encourage things along the way. And now my lawn is covered with St. Augustine grass. But I have to be careful now, because there are other grasses that are continually trying to choke out the St. Augustine. One of these is called India crabgrass. This grass is very persistent. If it's allowed a small start, it climbs across the top of the St. Augustine. As it gets thicker and thicker, the sun isn't able to reach the St. Augustine, and the St. Augustine dies out. For many people, their spiritual life isn't going anywhere because it is simply being choked out by the cares of this life. That means the other things that they're spending their time on. You see, as I've been saying, life is about time. If we're going to have a spiritual life that's thriving, we will have to spend time at it. If we're going to have a good golf score, it requires practice, and practice is about time. If we're going to make progress in any area of our lives, we're going to have to spend time at it. Our lives are a reflection of how we spend our time. It may sound too simple, but the person who has a growing Christian life is the person who is spending time at it. The cares of this life are all but choking out the spiritual lives of countless people. These days, usually both parents are working. We start the day early and we go to bed late. We seem to have a high standard of living in this country as far as material things are concerned, but a very poor standard of living in the things that really matter. Now, many people complain that modern life leaves them no time for spiritual things. The truth is that we have the same amount of time as we ever did. The question is, how have we chosen to spend it? To be able to pray effectively, We must allocate time. Time is the raw material of life. If we want a spiritual life that means anything, if we're going to experience what it means to have a victorious, growing Christian life, we're going to have to set aside time to make it happen. Everything takes time, and the Christian life is no exception. When it comes to prayer, some people think you can pray while you're doing everything else, like breathing. Ordinarily, we don't have to stop what we're doing to breathe. Although it's true, we can do other things and be praying at the same time. We can't be thinking about other things and be praying at the same time. If prayer is going to be a priority in our lives, we have to set aside time to pray, time when we're not doing anything else. People who are growing spiritually, who enjoy what it means to be overcomers, and who know the meaning and the life-changing power of prayer, are the people who set aside a time every day to be alone with God. These people have learned that the Christian life goes best when they begin the day with God. And if we want to pray effectively, we must set apart time for it. There is a difference in making time for prayer and setting aside time for prayer. Now, we can't make time for prayer because time is fixed. There are only 24 hours in a day. If until now you've not been spending time with the Lord, there's not going to be time to fit it in. I say this because your time is now occupied with other things. What I'm leading up to is that whenever we decide that we're going to put something new into our lives, we're going to have to take something out to make room for it. At the beginning of the year, people make New Year's resolutions. And some have done studies as to how long New Year's resolutions last. I've heard it's only 5 days on the average. This is due to the fact that the new resolution is placed on top of everything else. One day my wife asked me to go out in the car to get our son's work clothes, which he'd left in the car. She was about to do the washing. It was pouring rain, as it usually does on a summer afternoon in Florida where I live. I took the clothes basket in one hand and an umbrella in the other, and I went to the car to get the clothes. It was raining hard, so I had to balance the umbrella while I put the clothes in the basket. That day there were more dirty work clothes than there was room in the basket. So rather than make a second trip, I heaped the clothes up, actually overfilling the basket. I held the load close to my body and began to return to the house. As I went, clothes were falling out and onto the ground. The clothes that fell out were the ones that were not in the basket, but the ones that were heaped on top. The point is that when we decide to pray, we often add prayer to all the other things that were already occupying our time, and the result is that prayer soon falls out. Friend, we will not be able to add prayer to our lives until we make room for it, and that will mean taking something else out, something that's less important. We don't make time for prayer, we set aside time for prayer. To experience the true joy of communion with God, we also need to have a special place for prayer. And this is logical, because when a person is trying to spend quality time with someone, they should be alone with them. Of course, we can pray to God at any time and in any place, but the most effective and meaningful time is the time we spend alone with God in a special place. It's no secret that marriages thrive when the husband and wife have special quality time together at special places, and so it is in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus used to have a special place for prayer. The Bible tells us we ought to have a special place for prayer too. Jesus himself said, "And when you pray, go into the closet and shut the door and pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, of course, Jesus is not talking about going into a literal closet. He's talking about a special place to be alone without distractions. But to be alone with God is not easy. Prayer and time spent alone with God in a special place is a discipline. We have to work at it to make it happen. We need to be careful, though, because a person can actually be alone with someone physically and not really be there at all. We can be thinking of other things while communing with God. So getting alone with God at a special place doesn't mean it's easy from there on. We must learn to concentrate. We must know what we are doing there and why. It's very hard to concentrate in this day and age. We're so accustomed to being distracted. We're so used to being distracted that many of us don't know how to be alone or even feel uncomfortable when we're alone. But when we're alone with God, we must learn how to be silent and how to endure and to enjoy silence. The scripture tells us, be still and know that I am God. No, God is not in the noise. He's not in the hoopla. We get to know God best in stillness. It's in the stillness that we find Him. As we make plans to move forward in our prayer life, then, we're going to want to have a special place where we go for our quiet time with God. And we're going to want to set aside that special time. Do you have a time that you spend alone with God each day? Do you have a special place for this time? I hope you do. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us that we spend time doing everything. It seems like everything else, but spending special quality time with You. Oh, God, we want to get closer and closer to You. And so impress our hearts. Remind us. Don't let us rest until we give You the time that You deserve. And we will thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Growing in Grace with Richard O'Phil. If you'd like more information about this program, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.